Lord, if he wasn't right there with us all the time, and he is. We're going to be putting on the screen 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3-7. I left my, oh, here it is. I was going to say I left my Bible down there, but I'm going to be reading that with you up there on the screen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Wonderful words. I think that you heard the word comfort so often and suffering so often that we'd have to read it again. But you can read that anytime you want in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 1, 3-7. We were talking about the title of the message being Living Beyond or Outside Our Comfort Zone. I'm going to ask for a show of hands if any of you love trials, tribulations, difficulties, and conflicts. Let me see your hands. You love them. There was one person that thought I said something else, but that's, I think, yeah, you're listening. You're listening hard this morning. Nobody wants them, but that's actually what it's all about, living outside our comfort zone. And that's actually where God evidently has designed that we should live, where we're not comfortable, but where he comforts. That's where it is comfortable in that sense. Where God's comfort is and where it lies is when we live beyond or outside of our comfort zone. That's what the Christian life is all about. We don't like it, but it's a vital part of our lives. When I ask the Lord, what do you want me to speak on in any place that I don't know anything about, for example, here in the Sioux, he put this on my heart and in my mind, because I believe firmly that it's just such a common denominator of our lives. It's just something that's common to all of us. Nobody likes trials, but they're in our lives. We were praying for people in trial. Whenever we hear of somebody that has a conflict or a difficulty or a trial, we need to pray for each other. I want to give you three reasons this morning why God comforts us. And I take this outline from Brother Keith Price, who is with the Lord, a dear man, a mentor. You know, mentors can be people you don't know very well. I happen to know him personally, have listened to some of his messages. And I was sad when he went on to be with the Lord, because Keith was a man that I really admired as someone who didn't worry about what denomination he was preaching to. When he would travel all over Canada with the evangelical fellowship, he would be preaching to so many different audiences, and I love that kind of a spirit. Someone who would just be at home anywhere as long as he was preaching the Word of God. And he told us this outline could be used, so with his blessing, I use it this morning. Three reasons why God comforts us. First of all, for who he is. Three things about God in this passage. God is, first of all, the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we rather conservative believers in the body of Christ, as opposed to liberals, we really have it clear that Jesus Christ was God. That's good. He is. He's God. The liberals have so clear that he's a man that they don't believe he is God. And they're probably not in the body of Christ for that reason. But we have a problem sometimes that he's a real man. Jesus was a true man. And that's that, and saying anything but that is heresy as well. He was God and man, and that's a mystery. But because he was a man, according to Hebrews, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Can you imagine God Almighty, who created the universe, the center of the universe, having to learn something? That's beyond my imagination. He never was a man until he became a man. And he learned obedience by the things he suffered. You can meditate on that for a while when you go home. That he learned obedience. Not my will, but your will be done, he said to the Father. He never had to obey. He's God. And yet when he became flesh, when he became a man, it was through the things he suffered that he learned obedience. It's beyond my imagination. Therefore, he can comfort. Who he is. God is the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's also the Father of mercy and compassion, we're told here. He's the Father of compassion. Compassion is getting alongside someone and trying to feel what they feel, even if you can't, but being there and empathizing, suffering with them. That's God. We have in Isaiah a verse that says that he was afflicted or distressed with the distress of his people. God always feels your pain. And he's the one that can understand your pain. He's the God of all compassion. When he was to deliver the people, his people out of Israel, he said, I have seen their affliction. Oh, God knows, and he's there. He knows your pain and my pain. He's also, in the third point, he's the God of all comfort. Now, the word comfort, we have to realize that when it says that God is a comforter, God the Father is a comforter, God the Son is, and God the Spirit. Now, the original word of the comforter, when it says that Jesus said, I will send another comforter. Sometimes we're confused with that word. Comforter to me brings to mind that big blanket that we had in the wintertime, and it was a comforter. Some of you understand that. And it's so cozy. It comforts you in the cold of winter, a comforter. But that's really not all that this word means. When it says that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, sometimes he makes you uncomfortable, doesn't he? He says, that was a wrong thing to say. You shouldn't have acted like that. That was a bad attitude. That makes you uncomfortable. Why? Because he's our counselor. He's there to help us. The word in its original really means somebody who is called aside to us to help us. That's a helper. That's an encourager. How we need these people in this congregation. How you need people that will come and encourage. Like I was talking about the Canes. How they came to Spain and they so encouraged us. They were right there with us. It's hard when you're not right there with somebody. That's what God the Father is. That's what God the Son is. And we have texts to prove that. Because it says that Jesus is our advocate, and that's the same word as comforter. When he says that the Holy Spirit's a comforter, Jesus also is a comforter. He's up in heaven. He's representing us. He can help us. So the word means encouragement, means helping, being alongside there to help. God certainly is present in our trials. He is the God of all comfort, just as the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. He's the God of all comfort. So he comforts us because of who he is. He can't do anything else but do that because God is the God of all comfort. He's the God of compassion and mercy. In the second place, he comforts us for what we suffer. It says, who comforts us in all our troubles. Let's start by the back door, troubles. How many here have troubles? Well, that's a lot more hands that went up than those that didn't before. We all have troubles. Now, troubles come in all sizes and shapes and packages. You can have a trouble, you young children can have trouble with your parents. You parents can have trouble with your children. You spouses can have trouble with each other. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure that you know what I'm talking about. The chuckling means you know what I'm talking about. Trials come in all kinds of ways. That's why James 1 says, count it joy when you come into all these different kinds of trials. Who here is so joyful and laughs as soon as you get a trial? Oh, guess that's wrong then. What did he mean? Well, he goes on to say, knowing that the trial of your faith produces patience, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, knowing that we can be joyful. Now, we don't have that silly smile pasted on our face like when you take a picture. My daughter-in-law says, you have the same smile every time you take a picture. I know how to put a smile on, but it's not that. That's not the joy he's talking about. The joy is that lasting joy that knows that God will fulfill his purpose in our life. So trials can come in the way of sickness. They can come in the way of death, death of a loved one. They can come in the way of our relationships that are so important. And we're all in all kinds of relationships, whether it's your spouse, whether it's some other family member, whether it's somebody you work with, very hard on you, very hard to work with this person. Well, trials are there, and they come in all kinds of ways. So we went into the back door, and we found out that there are trials in our lives. It says all our trials. All our trials. Do you believe that God knows what he's doing in all your trials? Every one of them? I can thank God for this one and that one, especially those that are past, knowing, boy, he did something in my life. He did mean something by that trial in my life. But all of them? It's hard. But God says that we're to give thanks in all things. But he also says give thanks for all things. I've heard people say, he says give thanks in all things, but not for all things. Because not everything is good. Some things are bad, and we can't give thanks for the bad things. The Bible says we're to give thanks for all things as well. Even harder. But he can comfort us in all our trials. Now let's look at the word our. Did you know that God tailor makes, like a suit, he tailor makes your trial and your trial and my trial? They're my trials. They're your trials. They're individual. And he knows exactly what we need. We don't know what we need. He does. And doesn't it bug you when somebody comes up, some well-meaning believer comes up and puts their hand on your shoulder and say, I know exactly what you're going through. Some of you smile because you know that I'm right. It's because it's my trial, and what do you know about it? We're well-meaning to each other. There are some people, most of us, who don't know what to say in the face of death. When somebody dies, do you love going to the funeral home? And do you know exactly what you're going to say? If you know exactly what you're going to say, better shut up. It's the best thing you can do. When you're in the face of somebody who is going through death, that valley of death, and would rather have that person that's in the casket standing there than you, and you say, well, she's better off. Are you kidding? Well, she may be better off, but I sure am not. I wish she was right here with me. And the best thing we can do in those circumstances, if we want to comfort, is just be there. Just be there. And just express our appreciation and just, you know, the warmth of our presence. That's what God does. He comforts us in all our trials. They're ours, and nobody else really, really understands, do they? He does. He comforts us in all our trials. There's a third point. It's because of what other people need. We were discussing what we need. We need the comfort in all of our trials. But now we're going to look at what other people need. The Bible says, so that we might be able to comfort those in all of their trials with the comfort that we receive from the Lord. That's a good reason for trials in our life. So that we can comfort others. And those of us who don't want to be outside that comfort zone, which is practically all of us, we need to be reminded this morning that's where God works in our life. And it's to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And it's to produce that quality and that characteristic that we might be able to be like the Lord, comforting others. Comforting is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Being there to counsel, to encourage, that's one of the gifts. It's called exhortation. And most of us have the idea that the gift of exhortation is somebody who comes alongside, but who really gives you a tongue lashing. I've got the gift of exhortation. So I exhort people. I tell them off. That's not what exhortation is. Exhortation is the exact same original as that counselor, which is God himself, that comes alongside and encourages. We don't need people coming along giving us a tongue lashing. That's not what exhortation is. Encouragement, coming alongside someone in their trial, and we need to all be like that. It's interesting that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are certain people who certainly have them, you can tell. But we're all called to serve, we're all called to give, we're all called to teach, we're all called to shepherd one another, but there are some who have the gift. Now, all of us can encourage as we've been encouraged by the Lord in our trials. So that's one of the reasons, so that we can in turn encourage others. And it says, in whatever tribulation, whatever trial people face, you say, well, how can I? Didn't you just say that the best thing would be to be quiet? And, how can I know how to encourage somebody if I haven't gone through it? Brothers and sisters, if we had to go through all of the trials, we'd be here a lot longer than 100 years, wouldn't we? We can't. We can't possibly. Then how is it that the Lord tells us that we can help somebody in whatever trial they go through? If I haven't gone through. If I haven't been a drug addict, well, I can't say anything to a drug addict. If I haven't been an alcoholic, I can't say anything to the alcoholic. If I haven't been into pornography, I can't speak to the person who has a problem with pornography. Not so. The Bible says that we can be there and comfort those that are in any tribulation. Why? Because we've been comforted by God in our tribulation. And we can say, I've never experienced this, but I know that God can bring you out of that addiction. I know it. And then you can give him your testimony if you want. Now, you don't have to go and say, I know exactly what you're going through. No, you may not have. And we hope that hardly anyone here has ever gone through some of the things. But that doesn't make you a person who can't minister to others. You can. With the comfort you yourself have received from God, so that we are able then to comfort, counsel, encourage, and be with others in their trial, in any kind of trial. That's quite a statement. The alls in the Bible are all-inclusive. In any kind of situation, you don't have to have experienced everything, but what you've experienced from God allows you, gives you the ability to help someone else in all kinds of tribulation because you've experienced it from the Lord, therefore, it's valid. There's another thing that I want to talk about in that trials are not enjoyable. It's not enjoyable at all. Do you think the oyster that produces a pearl enjoys that irritating sand? Of course not. Do you think that the gold, if the gold could speak, when it's being fired and fired to get the dirt off of the gold so that it can be pure gold, what we were singing of before, the refiner's fire, heating it and heating it to that heat where only gold can still resist? Do you think the gold would like that? You don't like it when God heats a fire under you. We don't like that. But how could we have pearls without sand irritating that oyster? How could we have gold without that heating and purifying process? How could we have a guitar playing like Nicholas's guitar if he hadn't tightened those strings and I can just hear them squeaking and say, no more. And he has to tighten it because if he doesn't, it doesn't get up to that E. The string's going E, E, and he finally gets to E and that's enough. But then there's music. You can't have music if you don't have that tightening. So we can't have the precious, precious pearl. By the way, did you know that the holy city has gates made of pearls? Can you imagine that big of an oyster? Well, there's a lot of oysters going into those pearls, I can tell you. Of course, God can make pearls out of anything. No problem. Not a problem with God. But to produce the things that he wants to produce in our lives. One, because he's who he is. Two, because of what we suffer. And three, because of what others suffer. And this results in so much thanks to God, as it says later on in this passage. God is able to do this for so many reasons. I pointed out three reasons. And hopefully we'll go from here with another perspective of trials and tribulations, of difficulties and problems in our lives. God knows. He's not like one who comforts and says, I know exactly what you're going through, and he doesn't. He does know. He was there. Jesus was there. And he knows exactly what we're going through. So this morning we've been singing Refiner's Fire. I want to be holy, we sang. This is the process. Trials and tribulations, problems, difficulties. And they're not nice. That's why we need to pray for each other. When we go through these trials, we do well to remember to pray for each other. Refiner's Fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. Let's pray together. We thank you this morning, Father, for your work in each of our lives. Most of all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, without whom we would be untied totally. We'd be without any kind of direction in our lives. And Lord, tie us with that string, the cord of love to you. We just want to, again, renew our promise to you that what we want to do in life is to please you. We love you. We know you love us far more than we love you. And so we respond to your love this morning. Father, I don't know the people here. If you know there is somebody here who still is not connected at all, they don't know what we're talking about, but they would love to have a relationship with you. Speak to them, Holy Spirit. Convince them of their own need, of their own sin, that they might be forgiven today and enter into that joyful experience of salvation. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for having gone through so much suffering for us. And so we trust you with our lives this morning. We give ourselves to you once again and ask your blessing on each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.